SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Happy Friday! Welcome to the Morning After on Sports Grid. You're listening on SiriusXM Channel 204, and I'm your host, Ariel Epstein. We're taking you through the next 3 hours, getting you ready for the weekend, help you build up that bankroll. There's a lot going on, though. You're able to bet on the NHL draft. You're able to bet on the NBA draft. All that coming up within the next week. It's a pretty slow time, yet finally, we got a little bit of drama around sports in the last week. There's been talk about teams leaving conferences in college football. It's been media day in college football, in addition to drama in the NFL. I'm really excited. We're going to break it all down for you today. Not so excited about our first topic because it really got pretty heated on social media yesterday, talking about the vaccinations and the National Football League, players speaking out. There's other ways to handicap this. It's going to have to be taken into consideration, a lot of different factors that we've never had to think about before. At least I have my co-host Ben Stevens to help me out. It's going to be a long NFL season. I'm excited for it, though, Ben.
I'm still very excited for the NFL season. And there's a lot of unknown right now, Ariel, around vaccination rates within the National Football League. But what we do know, based on the news yesterday coming from the NFL Network and Tom Pelissero, is that if teams have a COVID outbreak due to an outbreak within their unvaccinated population, it will not be canceled or postponed. It will go down as a forfeit and a loss in the win column. So we are a sports betting show. And from a sports wagering perspective, how does this affect any NFL bet you might make, whether it's on a weekly basis or now, right here in the late part of July, looking at the futures market? Of course, it will have a tremendous impact on anything you might bet on right now. Super Bowl future odds, conference, divisional odds, and certainly team win totals. Because if it is a game that is unable to be played, it will go down as a forfeiture, a loss for the team that had the COVID outbreak. One of the biggest rules also put into these guidelines by the NFL yesterday, Ariel, as you know, as incentive to get vaccinated across the National Football League, was that if the game is a forfeit and neither team can play, neither team will receive payment for that specific day, part of the player's salary within that specific game. So all of this taking place, we don't exactly know what this looks like right now. What will be public? Well, we know teams that have reached that 85% vaccinated threshold. We know that 14 of the 32 at this current point in the NFL have reached that 85% threshold, and all 32 NFL organizations have at least 50% vaccination across their rosters. But will we know specifically which team might be lagging in their vaccination rates? That remains to be seen, and that certainly can be a part of your handicapping moving forward.
A small fine print in all of this also had to do with if you were a player who's unvaccinated and that was where it started, the outbreak, then that's when all this goes down. However, they didn't necessarily talk about vaccinated players testing positive, but I know that there's different protocols in place for players that are vaccinated and aren't. To make light of this situation, because it was just so dark on social media yesterday, I was cracking up at some of the comments. Some people's comments were, "Hey, Field Yates at ESPN, is there a way that you could tell me which players are vaccinated so I know for my fantasy football draft?" It's true, though. If you have a vaccinated player on your fantasy football team, then you know that that player most likely, if anything, misses a week. And then they're allowed to come back because it's a 7-day period. Otherwise, for teams, it's a team effort. And unfortunately, the NFL is making this a very serious topic that we have to discuss. But welcome to our Sports Grid Radio audience. First hour here on the Morning After. You're listening on SiriusXM Channel 204 and the Mightier 1090 on the West Coast. With Ben Stevens, I'm Ariel Epstein. I keep thinking about win totals and the vaccination. We're talking about the vaccinations in the NFL and how you might have to forfeit games if someone who's unvaccinated creates some kind of outbreak on the team. If this affects one game, that could be a win total. I mean, one loss, if you have an over on a win total, it hurts you. However, Ben, if you have an under on a win total, this really helps you.
And I think it's a very interesting conversation, right? Because we are a sports betting show, so we look at it from that handicapping perspective. This is a much larger conversation, but when you dive into the nitty-gritty of how this might affect your bankroll or your fantasy team or all that goes into the fandom and the passionate fans we have around the NFL on a regular NFL season, these are things you dive into. If you have a wager on an 8.5 team win total and a game has to be forfeited and they end up 8-8 now because it's a 17 game season, then you will go under an 8.5, where if that game were played and that team had won, it would have gone over. So these are the fine lines we're talking about right now and any future odds you might be making. And our friend Ryan Williams of FanDuel had a very similar thing to what people were replying to with Field Yates yesterday in the comments and all of the dark nature of what was happening on social media. The lighter aspect of it is, how does this affect my fantasy team? Can I get a list of who is vaccinated or unvaccinated at the moment in the NFL? And our friend FanDuel's Ryan Williams said, this is a good time, a reminder that at all times in any year, drafting for value late in your fantasy draft is very important. This year, don't sleep on the people you take in the final four rounds, because if somebody is out for a game, they could be a very tremendous factor on your fantasy team. So again, the kind of lighter nature of all this very serious discussion, but from a sports betting fantasy perspective, a handicapping perspective, these are all things that are a part of this deeper conversation.
Yeah, we should be going for Taysom Hill and any other Denver Broncos fourth-string quarterback that is also a wide receiver. Because if you draft those players, then hey, you never know if a wide receiver is going to start at quarterback that day. Anyway, we have to get to Major League Baseball because the trade deadline's coming up next Friday. A week from today, July 30th, is the MLB trade deadline. Yet one team got ahead of the curve. You're listening here on SiriusXM, Channel 204, the Sports Grid Network with Ben Stevens. I'm Ariel Epstein. Major League Baseball trade talk, Major League Baseball gambling recaps from yesterday. It's all right here on the Sports Grid Network. We'll be right back after the commercial break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back here on the morning after on Sports Grid, SiriusXM Channel 204 with Ben Stevens. I'm Ariel Epstein. In Major League Baseball yesterday, before we get to the games from a gambling perspective, there is one player that could play some impact in the futures market, and that's Nelson Cruz, the slugger, going over from the Minnesota Twins in a trade to the Tampa Bay Rays. This is huge for Tampa. Cruz is a seven-time All-Star, hitting .294 with 19 home runs and 50 RBIs this year. In the playoffs, Cruz also has experience. He hits .288 in the playoffs in his career, 17 home runs in 46 postseason games. Ben, when I saw this last night, my first instinct was, uh-oh, +145, American League East. Let's get it, Tampa.
My first reaction was, how does everybody know that Tampa is going to do a small, smart thing every single year nearing the trade deadline, and yet they're still able to do it and seemingly fleece the rest of Major League Baseball? We had our guy, Mid-Major Matt, say the same exact thing. The Tampa Bay Rays will not do something super flashy, but they will make one of the smartest moves at the deadline that sets them up tremendously so for the home stretch of this Major League Baseball season. Literally yesterday, about 24 hours on this show, our MLB insider here across the Sports Grid Network, the host of Fantasy Sports Today, and Craig Mish, said he looks for the Tampa Bay Rays to probably make the best move at the deadline. Well, this, getting Nelson Cruz, might already be the best move at the deadline, and we're still a week away from the deadline even being fully complete. To bring in Nelson Cruz, a guy that's batting .294 this year with 19 home runs, which ranks second, by the way, of all designated hitters across Major League Baseball this year, is a huge upgrade for the Tampa Bay Rays, because, Ariel, they rank bottom five in average, batting average, that is, OPS and home runs among all of their DHs they have had at that spot this year. So to bring in Nelson Cruz that has that postseason experience, that by all accounts is an absolute pleasure to have in your clubhouse, and then to add that offensive production he can provide with the bat where the Rays need a little bit of help because they're the 11th best offense in all of Major League Baseball. If they can crack the top 10, this team right now is destined for another deep postseason run, of course, making it to the World Series this past season in the compacted year and being the American League pennant winners. But another just incredibly canny and smart move from the Tampa Bay Rays, setting themselves up so well for the rest of this American League race.
The odds didn't move. It stayed at plus 145 Tampa Bay to win the division, 7-1 to win the American League. I can understand how one player, especially a designated hitter, didn't move the needle, yet it's a good opportunity if you do want to buy in on Tampa. I'm with Craig Mish here. When it comes to the hottest team in baseball, the Detroit Tigers? Yeah, I'm saying that right. Ever since the All-Star break, the Tigers are undefeated. Yesterday, they followed it up in the afternoon, a 7-5 win over the Texas Rangers. The Tigers are the fifth team in Major League Baseball history to win at least seven straight games coming out of the All-Star break after entering it 10 or more games under 500. The other teams to do it, the Orioles in 98, the White Sox in 89, the Orioles in 87, and the Reds in 1935. They swept Minnesota in a three-game series. They swept Texas in a four-game series. Ben, the Detroit Tigers, the hottest team in baseball right now.
Also the third team in the last 10 years in Major League Baseball to have a plus 30 run differential in their first week following the All-Star break. The Detroit Tigers, of all teams right now, Ariel, setting Major League Baseball records and doing so by the day. Seven straight wins, now four games under 500. They are still a very long way back from anything in terms of the American League playoff picture, especially within their own division in the AL Central. But on a game-to-game basis, they are about as surefire of a bet as you will see at the moment. And today, they go on the road tonight to Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City, where Ariel, the seven straight wins for the Detroit Tigers. They are an underdog today, plus 108 against the Kansas City Royals, who by no means are a team that you should certainly be afraid of at the moment. So plus money on a team that has won seven straight games, it certainly has to end at a time. But right now, the Tigers also going with Willie Peralta today, who's got a 3-1 record and a 2.5 ERA. So this might be another spot to jump in on the Detroit Tigers when you're getting plus money on a team that's won seven straight games.
I have to imagine they're the most profitable team right now in baseball, considering they're usually underdogs, even if they are playing on the road or even if they are playing at home. A team that was at home yesterday and was happy to be so is the Boston Red Sox. They end up beating the New York Yankees 5-4 in 10 innings, winning it, of course, in the bottom of the 10th. And the manager of the Red Sox, Alex Cora, spoke about the win after the game last night.
Overall, tough win. They're playing good baseball. You know, they're pitching, and you saw what they did. You know, they stole bases, they bunted, they put the ball in play. So, you know, it was a good battle, and, you know, we ended up winning.
Yes, they ended up winning, and the Yankees continued to struggle against the Red Sox. Now, granted, the Yankees did get a couple of wins at home against Boston. However, Ben, in Fenway Park, like they were last night, the Yankees continue to struggle.
And they snapped a four-game winning streak for the Yankees last night, did the home team in that rivalry, the Boston Red Sox. But, Ariel, it all goes back to the idea of what we were just discussing with the Tampa Bay Rays and those AL East divisional odds you see right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook. You mentioned after the Nelson Cruz trade, not much movement in terms of the market or the prices. The Red Sox still the odds-on favorite to win the American League East at minus 110. The Rays there at plus 145. The Yankees have had a small bit of shorter odd movement in the last week or so, being at plus 900 right now, but the Red Sox still holding firm. Now the best record in the American League, moving past the Chicago White Sox, moving past the Houston Astros when it comes to the overall AL picture. And if you can knock down a team that's really hot and your biggest rival in baseball, a divisional foe, the Red Sox continuing to show that even though the metrics might not back up one of the best starting staffs in all of Major League Baseball, they don't have the best ERA. Their WAR is pretty good right now, but the Red Sox just keep compiling wins. And it's pretty impressive to see to this point of the season. It's almost like the Giants on the other side in the National League. The Red Sox have been a very pleasant surprise, and you almost think at a certain point you have to regress a little bit negatively. The Red Sox have not done that. The odds-on favorite still on the FanDuel Sportsbook to win the American League East. I think the Rays have the value. If you really want value on the Rays, Ariel, like you mentioned, plus 700 to win the AL pennant. getting Nelson Cruz, knowing they have the best bullpen in all of baseball. That would be where I think you can find some really good value on the Rays right now. The Red Sox, the third shortest odds to win the AL at plus 500 at the moment.
I do want to bring up the Giants. I know we're going to bring it up in our West Coast Wake Up again. However, Ben, yesterday, brutal beat for you. I mean, that was terrible. The Giants, you had the Dodgers winning the game, right? The money line. And
no, it was the total of 7.5.
The total, right.
The under of the total. Yeah.
Right. You took the under on the total. Because I remember us talking about how there was a certain way if I had the Giants and +1.5, and I guess that was two nights ago. But the Giants at +1.5 in this series was an amazing bet because the Dodgers were the home team. They were favored in every game of the series. Yet because the Dodgers had some good pitchers on the mound, like Walker Buehler yesterday, you only had to lay the -140 to take the +1.5 runs on the Giants. The Giants not only cover that, they end up winning 3 out of 4 games in L.A. Ben, this is the second time this year that the Giants have gone into L.A. and won the series.
It's been incredible stuff. It's also the third time of the 4 games in this series the Giants came from behind to win in the 9th inning, with the Dodgers having a lead entering that 9th and final inning and then falling in 3 straight games in those opportunities. All 4 games in this series, Ariel, decided in that 9th and final inning. The Dodgers winning the second game thanks to a Will Smith walk-off pinch hit home run, but the Giants taking 3 of 4 and doing so in dramatic late game fashion. The first time in Dodgers franchise history, a very long and illustrious franchise history, where the Dodgers have lost 3 straight games when they have had the lead entering the 9th inning. And Kenley Jansen, another blown save yesterday. A very questionable call that we will get to later in the show during our West Coast Wake Up Hour on a potential check swing. Did Darren Ruff go or did he not? Was it a makeup call? But at the end of the day, the Giants take 3 of 4 in Dodger Stadium. They now have a 3-game lead in the NL West. Their odds have moved slightly as such. And the Giants, still the best record in baseball. They continue to have success even against their toughest competition, Ariel.
Ben, only 30 seconds. How much do these series mean between the Giants and the Dodgers to the West Coast?
Oh, they do. It's one of the best rivalries. If the Red Sox and the Yankees are a huge rivalry out here on the East Coast, then on the West Coast, Dodgers-Giants is a really big deal. And when you have two teams at the top of the NL West, it makes it that much more impactful.
I should be more well-rounded in the United States. Stay right here on the grid. We'll be right back to talk NBA news.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to The Morning After on Sports Grid, Sirius XM Channel 204 with Ben Stevens. I'm Ariel Epstein. The NBA draft is under a week away. It's on Thursday of next week, and we're going to have draft coverage. I know Ben's part of it. A lot of players going to get their dreams to come true and being drafted in that first round. Yet there's still teams that needed head coaches. Finally, the New Orleans Pelicans have their guy, and it's Willie Green. The reason it took so long is because he's coming over from Phoenix, where he was an assistant coach, of course, was coaching during the NBA Finals. Now he's going to be the third youngest coach in the NBA. Third youngest coach in the NBA, Willie Green, and he's going to be with the New Orleans Pelicans. This Pelicans team went 31-41 under Stan Van Gundy, who ended up leaving after just 1 year. Ben, how much faith do you have in this assistant coach coming over from Phoenix to get this Pelicans team, this young Pelicans team, into potentially the playoffs?
A very young Pelicans team that entered last year with a ton of expectation with Zion Williamson and the 2019 most improved player in Brandon Ingram. So this has a team full of talent across that roster. And Willie Green has quite a pedigree and a track record as an assistant coach across the NBA. For 3 years, he worked on Steve Kerr's staff with the Golden State Warriors. And for the past 3 years, he was an assistant for the Phoenix Suns. Of course, the Phoenix Suns making it to the NBA Championship Series this past season that just ended earlier this week. And Willie Green was really credited for Phoenix's defense. He was the defensive coordinator of that Phoenix staff, which we don't say defensive coordinator a lot when it comes to the NBA as opposed to the NFL. But Willie Green and the Phoenix Suns had the sixth most efficient defense in all of the NBA this past year. So a great track record, a great resume, also played in the NBA for 12 years, was a part of 7 playoff teams during his time playing within the NBA. He actually played for the New Orleans franchise as well. So he has the track record. He has the experience. He has the relatability, having been a former NBA player as well. I think it's a great hire, and I think he's a guy that has that success from the assistant ranks and now hopefully takes it to that head coaching position. Ariel, we were just discussing, you really know in the NFL who the top coordinators are, who are the hot names on the market by the time we get to Black Monday and the coaching carousel. You don't really know so much about that on an overall basis unless you're really delving into the NBA about the top assistants and who might be some of the names floated for these head coaching jobs that might open up. Willie Green, in my mind, seems like he would be a guy that has that assistant pedigree and now takes that into what he does, hopefully with some success as the head coach of the New Orleans Pelicans.
A bunch of young players now with a new young head coach coming into the New Orleans area, and we'll see if the Pelicans can improve and get above 500 after going 31-41. Ben, there is this one bettor who did something crazy, and it's for a large profit. $135,000 for if the White Sox win the AL pennant, because this bettor decided to go in parlay the White Sox to win the pennant, 4-1. The Bucks to win the NBA championship, 5-1. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers to win the Super Bowl at +850. And the Tampa Bay Lightning to win the Stanley Cup at +850. So a $50 wager on odds that are over 2,700 to 1. $50 makes him $135,000. I don't even know what to name this because he's got two Bucks teams, two Tampa Bay teams, and then randomly throws in the White Sox? What?
He needed something else. I mean, maybe the Tampa Bay Rays for a little bit of continuity. If there was a Bucks team, maybe the Buccos, the Pittsburgh Pirates. That would have been a terrible bet, though, to win any kind of pennant or divisional race or World Series. So now, sitting pretty good with the Chicago White Sox, who have the second best record in the American League and the second shortest odds currently to win the American League pennant and to make a run to that World Series. So a pretty good ticket to be holding at the moment from Bucks, the Tampa Bay Bucks, the Milwaukee Bucks, now to baseball. We'll see if this can cash by the time we get to late October, early November.
Tell you one thing, if I was this bettor, I would be rooting for the Chicago White Sox every day. Now, the question is, would I be able to watch each game or would I have to remove myself? Because I would just be a sweating bullets. Stay right here on the grid. We're going to welcome in our MSG audience in about 15 seconds. We'll be right back, and we've got more NBA to talk about. Welcome to our MSG audience here in the first hour of the morning after on Sports Grid. We're also on SiriusXM Channel 204 and the Mightier 1090 on the West Coast. With Ben Stevens, I'm Arielle Epstein. Ben, the New York Knicks did have some big news yesterday as they decided to sign one of their coaches. So Sham Sharania of The Athletic ends up tweeting out that the New York Knicks are signing their GM, Scott Perry, sorry, not a coach, but Scott Perry, their GM, to a contract extension. Now, Perry, the reason that this is important because his deal was expiring. He was hired back in 2017. He also led the Julius Randle race. He's the one that led in the signing of getting the most improved player and arguably the New York MVP, Julius Randle, back in 2019. This was big. The Knicks have the right pieces in place, it feels, in the organization, and it's never too early to look at the NBA championship odds. But Ben, looking at what Scott Perry's been able to do for this Knicks team as the general manager, it's a good extension.
Yeah, certainly so. Now there seems to be a little bit of stability in that New York Knicks front office, where for the past couple of years, the 3-5 years leading up to this time, it seemed kind of tumultuous. Now there's some stability. You bring back Scott Perry, who obviously was very crucial in getting Julius Randle to New York. Can he make some more offseason moves this offseason to bring some more talent to New York? Obviously, Damian Lillard has been floated as a name. Could they go to the free agent market? Maybe Kawhi Leonard if he opts out of his player option with the Los Angeles Clippers. Maybe another name that you can just pair with Julius and some of that young core to have some success here in the Big Apple. You talk about those NBA championship odds. Ariel, we discussed it a couple of days ago after the finals ended. The New York Knicks can't get no respect. 100-1 right now to win the NBA championship. I know last year, at least based on expectations, they overperformed. They hit a ceiling nobody expected them to hit as the fourth seed in the Eastern Conference playoffs. But when you look at the odds right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook, plus 10,000 to win the NBA championship, I don't think they're a favorite and should not be. But when you put them along the likes of the Toronto Raptors, the Indiana Pacers, the Washington Wizards, that's the two other teams the Knicks are grouped with. That's a real big shot, in my opinion, from a team that really was great last year, one of the best teams against the spread in all of the NBA last season, a great betting team to hold tickets on, and you put them at 100-1 to win the 2021-22 NBA title. I mean, they can't even get up there in like the plus 8,000 category. That seems to be a slight from the FanDuel Sportsbook.
I know that the Atlanta Hawks ended up making it to the Eastern Conference Finals, another team that ended up going above and beyond expectations, especially come March 1st, where they fired their head coach. I could still see that maybe the Hawks have a little bit shorter of odds than the Knicks, but not by as much. You look at the Hawks and the Knicks right now, and the separation between the two of them on the FanDuel Sportsbook for the NBA Finals next year, you have the Atlanta Hawks sitting there at 35-1. The Knicks are 100-1, and they were literally within one part of the seeding together. In fact, the Knicks had the home court advantage over the Hawks. That's what I don't understand. The Hawks had a new head coach come in, or their interim head coach, and now he's going to be their head coach going forward. The Knicks look just as good, but here's the thing, Ben. This is why you could take advantage, because if you believe in the Knicks, and maybe not to win the NBA Finals, the Brooklyn Nets right now, 2-1, have the best odds to do so, you could bet the Knicks essentially to make the playoffs when those odds come back out. And the Knicks, without any big pieces, another big veteran coming over, you could get some value there. It's waiting for the next piece to fall. The Knicks have to re-sign their GM, clearly. They did that. Scott Perry is now back under contract for the Knicks. Now it comes to, well, who are the Knicks going to take in? Who's the next all-star that the Knicks could bring on this team to help Julius Randle and take it to the next level? Julius Randle had an amazing year. How sustainable is it going forward? We'll have to see going into 2021-2022 season. For now, it's not enough to just have Derrick Rose coming off the bench. You need to have somebody else come in and help with this young team. Emmanuel Quickley was a really nice surprise for the New York Knicks this year, coming in his rookie season. And otherwise, it's, well, maybe you deal RJ Barrett, you get a big all-star. That's where the odds are going to start to shift, Ben, and that's why, even though right now the only odds up are the NBA Finals, once the NBA draft happens, if not before so, I could see a lot more options coming out on FanDuel for the upcoming NBA season.
And the Big Apple, Ariel, has once again become a very attractive place to play. So they can attract some free agents that maybe in years past, in the past five seasons, they haven't been able to. I mean, we all watched with our jaws on the floor, the Mecca just absolutely bumping at Madison Square Garden throughout the NBA playoffs. And you saw all the fervor around New York City backing the Knicks. I think it makes it a very attractive destination once again. And if they do want to make a big splash, maybe in free agency or in the trade market, they have some great young pieces to have out there, to option out there to trade. When you look at RJ Barrett, when you look at IQ, when you look at Mitchell Robinson, who comes back from missing most of last season due to injury, that's another piece they could add either in a trade deal or just back to the rotation that I think makes the Knicks a little bit better. And can you imagine, Ariel, at plus 10,000 right now, at 100-1, if you were to grab this Knicks ticket right now and they were to get close to what they did last year, maybe be the 4 seed again, or the 5 seed, or the 6 seed in the Eastern Conference playoffs, you're going to have a payout of a pretty attractive sum for the FanDuel Sportsbook. So I think there is value right now on the New York Knicks, and there might be some more value depending on what happens around this NBA offseason, the NBA draft. I know we're about to talk with our guy, one of the smartest minds in all of college basketball, now the NBA draft, Kevin Sweeney of Sports Illustrated, coming up here in just mere moments. But this is not a bad time to gain some value on the New York Knicks, 100-1 on the FanDuel Sportsbook right now to win the NBA championship next year.
I can tell you this, you're definitely not getting the Knicks at a 13 or 16 to 1 to make the playoffs this year. The Knicks ended their 7-year playoff drought. They're going to have the 19th and 21st overall pick in the draft coming up next Thursday. Then you have another pick inside the top 25, or excuse me, in the second round. The Knicks have 6 different picks in the next 2 drafts. So plus cap space, it could be helpful for the offseason. But coming up next, Kevin Sweeney of Sports Illustrated to talk about the NBA draft.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You made your round of 64, round of 68 bracket for the tournament. You didn't put Syracuse in. It's okay. You went to Northwestern. I understand the rivalry and media schools, but I digress. We're going to go into the NBA draft, and a Syracuse or Northwestern player are not going number one overall, so we can agree there. Cade Cunningham on the FanDuel Sportsbook is minus 6,000 to go number one overall, which is pretty much like a Joe Burrow numbers if you don't remember going to the Bengals. He's going number one overall. Now, how do you see Cade Cunningham transitioning into the NBA year one?
I think he's a natural fit for the modern game at 6'8". You know, he can pass, he can shoot. You know, he's the type of guy that teams are looking to build around now because he can guard multiple positions, he can help run a team. He's incredibly mature and was a huge leader for Oklahoma State this past season. I think that was something that was kind of overlooked, was just how good Oklahoma State was, and that was a surprise given what other one and done's going to non-traditional one and done powers have been. So, I think he's going to have an immediate impact, most likely for the Pistons. I'd be stunned if it's anywhere else. And, put up big numbers right out of the gate. I think the Pistons are going to build their offense around him, and he's going to have the opportunity to be a multi-time all-star by the time his career's over.
Kevin, you are one of the brightest minds in all of college basketball, and although you did not put Syracuse in your field of 68 for the past NCAA tournament, probably one of the best bracketologists across all of college basketball as well. Now we take your expertise into the NBA draft, and a guy that did not go the college route but is still the odds-on favorite to be the number 2 overall pick in next week's NBA draft is Jalen Green. He is minus 195 right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook to be the number 2 pick. Not a college guy, but what do you know about Jalen Green's name?
I mean, Jalen Green is an explosive scorer and showed it in the G League footage. It's only a month of tape. A lot of those games were getting played at noon on a Wednesday, so there wasn't really an opportunity for him to get his name out there the way someone like Jalen Suggs or Evan Mobley did during their deep NCAA tournament runs. But this is a guy who can just, like, flat out get a bucket, and I think his ability to score will fit well with the Rockets at number 2, and it seems like that's where things are trending. Into the draft, most people had Evan Mobley as number 2 on big boards, but I think what you're seeing is the Rockets realizing they need a guard they can build their offense around next to Kevin Porter, and Green is a more natural fit for that. And I think the comparison you see a lot is Zach LaVine. I think he could have a similar impact. I think he's a little bit more polished than LaVine was when he came into the league, but a guy who is just a nuclear-level athlete who can also really, really get buckets.
What I love to look at on FanDuel is that you could bet for the exact 4 to be drafted first. For example, you could get the best odds on the board are plus 880. Cade Cunningham, Jalen Suggs, Green, and Mobley. Or Cunningham, Suggs, Mobley, Green. So where the discrepancy is Mobley and Green in the 3rd and 4th picks. Where do you see each of them going?
Yeah, I mean, I think right now I feel pretty confident that it's going to be Cunningham, Green, Mobley, 1, 2, 3, as things work their way out. I think, Mobley's a great fit for the Cavs, who need some defensive pop to match up and pair with Darius Garland and Colin Sexton in the young backcourt. I think the only concern you'd have on a bet like that would be a trade. And I think there's potential there for that to happen because, the Cavs are in a weird spot. They're looking to maybe shop Colin Sexton. Could they go package their assets and move up to 2 if they decided they really wanted someone like Jalen Green and jump Houston? Could they move down? I think Cleveland is where the draft starts to get interesting. I'd be very stunned if, Houston or the Pistons traded out. But I think Cleveland could start to get messy. But if Cleveland takes the pick, I think Evan Mobley will be the guy, 1, 2, 3. And then it really starts at 4 with Suggs, who I think would be the likely pick for the Raptors at 4.
So let's focus on that number 4 pick and Jalen Suggs, who absolutely wowed all of college basketball this past year with Gonzaga, the heroic shot in the Final Four for Gonzaga as well. And so when you look at Jalen Suggs right now, Kevin, on the FanDuel Sportsbook, his draft position is at 4.5. The over-under is 4.5. The under has the juice at -270. Do you think Jalen Suggs will go number 4 overall in the NBA draft?
That seems to be where things are trending right now. I think the main reason is the fit with Fred VanVleet. You know, the Raptors, they want to rebuild. They don't want to necessarily be a full rebuild. They want to reload. They want a guy that can come in and help, you know, transition them out of the Kyle Lowry era, give them some pieces next to Pascal Siakam and VanVleet. And I think Suggs is a natural fit because he's so athletic. He's a really good defender. But I do think, you know, there's a real possibility that if Suggs doesn't go fourth, he could drop a little bit, you know, drop into the, you know, 5, 6, 7, you know, 8 range. You know, I don't think it's a lock that he's 4 or 5. I think, you know, if he doesn't go to the Raptors, then the fits become a little bit, you know, shakier. I think right now, if you, you know, put a gun to my head to get to say someone who's going to the Raptors, I would say it would be Suggs. But again, with trades and potential, I think that, you know, it really feels 50-50 to me whether he winds up on the board after the number 4 pick or not.
We're here with Kevin Sweeney of Sports Illustrated breaking down the NBA draft, which is going down next week. I love in the NBA draft or any draft that you could find a sleeper. There could be somebody who you didn't see coming who sneaks their way up the draft board. Who's that player going to be this year, Kevin?
You know, the guy I really love is Chris Duarte coming out of Oregon. You know, he was dominant this year in the Pac-12. You know, the biggest concern that a lot of teams have is his age. He's 23 years old already. He played 2 years in junior college, 2 years in college. He's not like your traditional prospect necessarily, but the guy's just a gamer already. You know, he can get buckets at any level. He can really defend. And I think when you see what someone like Cameron Johnson has done from North Carolina, where he spent 5 years in college and is, you know, was drafted higher than most people expected and turned into a, you know, really high level role player on a finals team, I think, you know, you could see similar, you know, similar rise from someone like Duarte, where a team convinces themselves that, you know, we have a core, we need to add a guy who can come in and be a contributing starter, not necessarily a superstar. And I think Duarte has the ability to be, you know, I think down the line a 17-point a game score in the NBA, but, you know, right away a really good, you know, high impact defender, high impact, you know, shot maker off the bench. So I really like Duarte in that spot.
Kevin, I think one of the most intriguing prospects for that top 10 range that you will find for next week's NBA draft is a freshman out of Florida State in Scottie Barnes. His draft position right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook is at 5.5. Again, the under has the juice. What do you make of Scottie Barnes' game, and where do you see him going in next week's NBA draft?
You know, the common comparison you hear thrown around with Barnes is Draymond Green. Like, he's never going to be a huge scorer in the NBA, but he does everything else at a really high level. There seems to be a lot of steam towards the Magic at 5, which I guess makes sense given the Magic love to stockpile like long athletic wings with long wingspans, and Scottie Barnes certainly fits that mold. You think about guys like Jonathan Isaac and Chuma Okeke and all those guys. I mean, you would certainly fit into that. I think again, there's some trade potential there, but Barnes would be another guy that'd be very appealing to contenders moving up because he's so game ready and so willing to, you know, fill a role. You know, think about a team like the Warriors would be interested in maybe packaging picks and getting someone like Scottie Barnes. A team like the Knicks, I think, could be interested in moving up. So the combination of the Magic's affinity for a guy like that and also, you know, teams moving up, I think it's very possible, even likely, that Barnes is a top 5 pick.
You can argue that last year the New York Knicks picked up a young upcoming player that people didn't expect to be the rookie to do it, and that was Emmanuel Quickley. For a team that may be up there on the draft board, a team that may have multiple draft picks in the first round, which NBA team do you see getting better instantly because of a certain player they might draft?
Man, that's challenging. I think the Grizzlies are a team that just every year seem to do a really good job on draft night of drafting guys that are ready to compete right away. You know, last year they got Desmond Bane, who wound up being a huge steal for them later in the draft. You know, before that, obviously, Ja. They just have a great player development program, great talent evaluators there. And I think they're a team that, once again, if they draft right in the teens, they're 17, if they find the right fit, and I think they've done such a good job in the past couple of years of finding guys they can plug in and help out, you know, they're the type of team that's one piece away. Like the Knicks adding quickly last year was, you know, gasoline on the fire for the Knicks. I think there's a potential for the Grizzlies, who, you know, certainly showed some promise this past year in the playoffs, that, you know, maybe they add one more piece that hits, and all of a sudden, you know, the Grizzlies are a dangerous out.
Kevin, you know me very well. You know I'm a Big Ten sympathizer. You, a Big Ten sympathizer as well, as a Northwestern grad. And right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook, to be drafted in the top 10 is a Big Ten guy in Franz Wagner, minus 188 to be a top 10 selection in next Thursday's NBA draft. Franz going top 10. Do you agree with the number the FanDuel Sportsbook is posting right now to have him as an odds-on favorite to be a top 10 pick?
I don't, actually. I think he's going to fall a little bit. And I think part of that is just the fact that he probably played his worst game of the season in the game with the most eyeballs on it. You know, against UCLA, his offensive game really struggled. It was a big reason why Michigan lost. But what you saw throughout the season from Franz was a different player, a guy who was an unbelievable team defender, a big ball defender, a good three-point shooter, a guy who can handle the ball and pass, you know, all skills that are really great, you know, for a high-level role player. There seems to be, you know, speculation that the Kings like him at 9. You know, that would be the best case scenario for me, but I also think there's a real possibility that he falls into the late lottery and also potentially even out of the lottery altogether. I think just, you know, the concerns there with how he played in that UCLA game, it just seems like the buzz has fallen off from, you know, in, you know, probably February and March, a lot of people have penciled him in as a clear top 10 pick. I think it's certainly a lot more up for grabs now.
How much would you say he's your actual fade in the draft, or is there someone else who you feel is getting overvalued?
That's an excellent thing. I think someone, Keon Johnson, is a guy that is a little bit overvalued right now because of his athleticism. You know, he set an eye-popping vertical jump record at the combine, and, you know, he's such an intriguing player as a guard, you know, who can theoretically become a high-level scorer and also a super athlete. I just didn't see enough of it on the court last year for Tennessee. And I get it was the COVID year and Tennessee was hit with multiple, you know, extended COVID shutdowns. Maybe that, you know, impacted things for him, but I just didn't see a guy who's a clear high level NBA player when I saw him. And so for him to be still top 10 on a lot of boards to me is a puzzler. Again, I understand why someone would take a risk, but I think more pro-ready guys, like I mentioned, like Duarte or Bones Highland, the guard, are more intriguing to me, because if I'm an NBA team drafting that middle tier of the draft, I want to go up and get a guy who can, you know, help me right away, and I'm just not sure Keon's ready to do that yet.
Kevin, only about a minute left here. Talk to me about two older guards that we saw playing the national championship game against each other, Gonzaga's Corey Kispert and Baylor's Davion Mitchell. Where do you see both of those guys going in the NBA draft?
Kispert has probably the lowest ceiling but the highest floor in this draft, and that makes him, you know, a weird fit for a lot of teams. You know, seems like late lottery is the best case scenario for him, but I could see him falling into the, you know, into the late teens. Hard for me to see him in the 20s. And then Davion Mitchell, you know, early on, right after the NBA, after the NCAA tournament, some people thought maybe he could sneak up all the way to 5 on a lot of boards. It seems like he's settling in more into, you know, the 10 to 14 range, which I think makes more sense. You know, he's a little older. He's not necessarily super, you know, super polished as a playmaker. I'm not sure he's a guy who can run a team at NBA level, but such a great defender, knocks down shots, and really athletic. So he'll certainly help a team right away, and I think be an immediate contributor. I like the Pelicans there for him as a spot where he could come in and contribute for a team that's trying to get into the playoffs with Zion Williamson.
Kevin Cheney of Sports Illustrated, thank you so much for joining us for this NBA draft coverage. And make sure to go to the FanDuel Sportsbook, and you can place your bets on NBA draft. Coming up next, Fade the Public Poll. Stay right here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Closing out hour number one here on the Morning After on Sports Grid. You're listening on Sirius XM Channel 204 with Ben Stevens. I'm Ariel Epstein. Let's get to our poll. It's time for Fade the Public. Can't believe it's already an hour into the show and we haven't brought up that the Olympics are starting today. Official start. I know there's been some group play, etc. that's been happening, yet tonight's the opening ceremonies. Naturally, the question is, if you had to bet on this U.S. team to win gold, which one are you betting? I was trying to be fair with two men's, two women's. Yeah, gymnastics, you had to put in the mix. So men's basketball was option one, women's basketball option two, women's soccer option three, and gymnastics was option four. And just under, currently it's 37%, but on this one it's about 36%, just over 36% of the public is saying gymnastics is where they would be betting for U.S. to win gold. Are you fading the public, Ben?
I guess I'm going to. I look at that 36%, and I agree. I mean, Simone Biles and her medal count alone will probably make it for the U.S. to win the team gold in gymnastics. I'm not sure exactly what the men's prospects are for gymnastics, but generally Team USA is up there when it comes to those events. But I'm fading the public because I look at the Team USA women's basketball team as the most surefire bet to win gold. In fact, when you look at the FanDuel Sportsbook, how could it be anybody but Team USA winning a women's basketball gold medal? They are minus 1,200 to win the Olympic gold medal in the next couple of weeks in Tokyo for Team USA women's basketball. The men's team is minus 350, and that's still pretty strong odds. Minus 1,200 is pretty crazy for Team USA women's basketball. They're going to win gold.
Don't forget for the men's too, Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday, and Devin Booker currently on their way to Tokyo. I'm going to stick with the public here. I'm going gymnastics. I'm just a homer and I love gymnastics. I love Simone Biles. I think she had a poor Olympic trials for her. She still won. But the Olympic trials for her in the U.S. weren't her strongest. I could see her fighting back and realizing, hey, I'm human. Let's get to work and just showing off on the Olympic stage. We're going to close out hour number one here on the show. Hour number two is coming up next. You're listening on Sirius XM Channel 204. We've got you covered until noon Eastern time.
Are you one of us?
We've just got one question.
Do you like games?
We do.
Do you like winning?
What a coincidence.